You're listening to Proof to Product, and this is episode number 11. We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses, people that were once in your shoes. Our TSBC alumni, speakers, and friends will shed light on growth strategies, resources, and inspiration to help you scale your creative business. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt, the founder of Trade Show Bootcamp, and welcome to Proof to Product. On today's episode, I'm interviewing my dear friend, Rachel Hetzel of Pistachio Press. Rachel has been a TSBC speaker since we got our start in 2011, and she's also a talented letterpress printer who is celebrating her 10-year business anniversary this summer. On today's episode, we are talking about mindset shifts that come as you gain more experience in your business. We're also talking about how both of us juggle business and babies and why we feel it's important to give back to our industry. Rachel, I am so happy to be interviewing you today. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Katie.
So a little fun fact for the audience before we get started. You and I initially met on Twitter. Yes. We met on Twitter back in the day. I think it was 2009. Your first show was 2010, right? With Latest Letterpress?
Yeah, it was.
Okay. So I think we met on Twitter when we were both getting ready for that show. That was my second show. And I think that was your first show. And then like I just remember that was where all of us were talking about catalogs and all the things that we now wrapped into paper camp.
But, totally. And I still have a little tweet pin that I wore on my badge from you from that show.
Yes, I know. That was when I was exhibiting for Kelp Designs, and I had like kelpdesigns.com around the side of the tweet pin. That's so funny. It's funny to me to watch how like social media has changed, and there's just different platforms, but yet the same strong relationships are being formed.
So it's so cool.
It's fun. It's fun, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. Pistachio Press, your brand, is turning 10 years old this summer. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You must be pretty excited.
Yeah, it's crazy. To have a business that's a decade old is just pretty insane.
It is. It is. Yeah. But you actually got started like in a more unofficial capacity prior to that. So can you kind of walk us through your story of how you got into letterpress printing and started your business?
Sure. So I did my BFA in printmaking. And in 2003, I realized that I had never seen letterpress done and never seen a letterpress itself, and that I was going to get my master's, my MFA in printmaking, and I should probably know something about it. So I drove, I think, like 400 miles and bought my first press and out of some guy's garage. And I showed up and I said, how does this work? So he gave me a little brief lesson, and then I started figuring it out. So I did my MFA. Figured out a little bit more about printing, letterpress printing, that is. And then right. I started teaching at a university. So I did that for 10 years before I stopped teaching. But in the meantime, I kept going back to letterpress. And so in about 2005, I started printing wedding invitations for friends, and I just kind of slowly got into it. And eventually I got an artist grant for my fine artwork, and I used it to buy a press, a letterpress, and some better paper and plates. So That's basically how Pistachio Press got started. And Then it eventually grew from there.
That's awesome. When did you move or transition from like more wedding stuff and custom work into having your ready-made off-the-shelf stuff that you know now wholesale?
I was doing a little bit of it right off the bat. So I started in 2007, is really when I officially named the business and started moving forward with everything. Uh-huh. And I started doing a craft show. So I had maybe 30 different cards or so. Okay. And that went really well. But then I started doing a ton of wedding work and a lot of more custom pieces. And that floated the business for a long time before I decided to go into wholesale. I think I had maybe 10 or 15 wholesale accounts by the time I started NSS. But okay. I really still didn't know what I was doing. I was lucky to have a friend who introduced me to a shop owner, and he explained wholesale pricing and was my first account.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I knew my first show was 2009, and that was really my launch into wholesale. And looking back, I'm surprised the people that placed orders with me at that show did, because I guess I was just faking it till I make it, you know, but I didn't know how to work my pricing. My pricing was too high and I didn't realize it until I got to the show and like was looking around a little bit more. I don't know. You just never know.
Yep. Well, and my pricing was too low and I didn't realize it. So it...
I was going to say, with the letterpress printers and, well, the people I've worked with, I find that when they're producing their own product rather than outsourcing it, you know, they don't really factor their time in very much. And so, and that's a hard cost, right? Your time, or if you're paying somebody else to do it. So.
Yep. My spreadsheet now lists my hourly rate when I develop new products so that I actually know what kind of profit I'm making.
Good, 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 good. Okay. I got off on a tangent a little bit there, but so you're hitting your 10-year anniversary. You've had a lot of different changes over that time period. You have had a retail storefront. You've moved your business across states. You know, you've had a baby now. Like, what, how did you navigate those changes? And, you know, you're pretty low key and you are go with the flow. So I know that your personality fits. I mean this in a very genuine, loving way. Like, your personality is very great in terms of being adaptable to these types of situations, but that is a lot to handle over the course of those years.
I think, you know, there's always the behind the scenes. So for me, I'm always thinking and I'm always troubleshooting. And I think that's why I'm a good printmaker, is because I like doing that. And so I'm doing that with the business constantly. I have had a ton of changes, and I think a lot of them have been really difficult. And, you know, it's kind of like you're floating along on your own when you're a small business owner. It's kind of hard to bounce ideas off of other people until you find your group of people to do that with. So I feel like I have been kept afloat by that. And there's been times where I hit, you know, so when I started the business, I was teaching full time and I continued to do that for 8 of the 10 years I've been in business. So I was teaching full time at a university as an art professor. And I had started the business in part because I thought having my own business would be more stable than being an adjunct, as I was at the time before I started full time. Which is so stupid, because having your own business is not that stable. and I guess that's part of the naivete that I had when I began, which is, I think, a real asset, you know, not knowing all of the pitfalls. I think you still have energy and excitement for whatever you're doing. You can kind of weather all of those initial storms with starting something new when you don't know everything about it. And you're still
kind of you definitely have an optimism to it.
Yeah. So once I, right before we moved, which is why I stopped teaching, I didn't realize quite how burned out I was. So after I moved, I had gone from previously doing a ton of commercial printing, had a lot of local clients. I had a retail shop that eventually kind of dwindled out because it was just, you know, it was almost like having 3 full-time jobs. I just couldn't keep up with it. So I realized that that part was draining me more than the other things, and that it's just a ton of work that I wasn't anticipating. So I have a lot more respect for shop owners now, and a better understanding of like what goes into the day-to-day there.
Yeah.
So when we moved, I took a little bit of time to refocus, and I decided the best thing for my business was to still have a creative outlet that I could completely control without a client dictating the end product. And so I decided to keep wholesale and push that line a lot more. And I also, we moved because my husband has a residency and we may not stay here forever. We don't know. So I wanted it to be a little bit more portable, where I wasn't reliant on local business quite as much. So I've been doing a lot more commercial printing as well. And working, that gives me the opportunity to work with other people still and have a little bit more of a steady income stream, whereas wholesale can kind of be bounce around depending on, you know, the trade show seasons. Yeah. And then having a baby has had, you know, he's about 6 months old now, and that's changed the business for me in a totally different way.
Do you mind talking about that a little bit? Because I know that motherhood is a big jump, and, you know, it not only changes our priorities, but it changes our workflow and our day-to-day life. And how's that been for you?
Better than I thought it would be. I was really nervous about that balance because I have some pretty honest friends. But I have to say that, you know, once I figured out we've got full-time daycare, so basically I drop him off at the sitter and I'm at work 9 to 5. It's the most 9 to 5 type of job I've ever had in my entire life. I've never worked at an office, you know, for more than, you know, 3 months in college. I did a stint in a museum, you know, that was about it. Yeah. So aside from that, I've always worked like weird hours. I'm a night owl. But having the baby, it's actually made it really great for my business because now I have a much better work-life balance. I know that I'm in the studio and I need to focus and work from 9 to 5. And then when I'm home, mm-hmm. I'm home. And I really can't get much more done. So sometimes I can eke out a few more things, but it's really helped my focus. And it's helped me shut off the business at a certain point where I was never able to before.
Yeah.
And I think it's been really great in that regard.
Yeah, that sounds really great. I mean, when did Elliot start daycare?
Let's see, probably a month and a half ago. And until that point, I was bringing him in with me and piecing together, you know, maybe 2 to 3 days a week with sitters that would come to the house and watch him. Mm-hmm. So I'd rush to the studio. I'd print as much as humanly possible. It didn't give me thinking time. It only gave me printing and work time. So
yeah, I'm a huge advocate of that block scheduling like you have now. I mean, when my kids were born, I had different situations, frankly, for all four of them. We did nannies, we did at-home daycares, we did full regular daycares, we've tried it all. And you know, each situation was different. But I found I was not the kind, my personality and my way of working was not, I was not successful doing like a nap time hustle or an after bedtime hustle. Yep. I needed larger chunks of time to really, like you said, that thinking time, that processing time, that working time. And major kudos to all the moms out there that either don't have the ability to have larger chunks of time and are squeaking it out during naps or, you know, nighttime after the kids are in bed. It's so hard to juggle that. And so I don't know, just I applaud you for figuring out what works best for you and then making it happen. It's not easy to make that decision to send your kids to daycare, especially when they're so little.
Yeah.
But for me too, like I love being a mom, but I also love my work and it makes me feel fulfilled as a person. And
that was probably the biggest piece of advice I got was that no matter what, your kid will see you being happy and enjoying your career. And I think that's equally as important to their happiness that you are happy. So I take that, you know, I wouldn't be fulfilled if I wasn't doing this work. I might be able to do less of it, but I still need to do this work.
Yeah. And I feel that when I have those blocks of times, I can do less work. Like if let's say I have like 4 full days or 3 full days where it's 9 to 5, I'm okay. Like, playing hooky on a Friday and I'm considering taking my kids to the blueberry patch tomorrow, you know, like, and pulling everyone out of school and everything. But I just feel like when I get those blocks of time, I'm more productive. It makes me feel calmer and happier. And like, I'm not stressed about what all needs to get done. I don't know if you feel that way too.
Totally. It's totally changed how I work. I am much more structured in my schedule. And I think as a small business owner, that's something that I always kind of actively rejected in a way, was having a structure to my day because, you know, I wanted to be able to go out to lunch with friends, but that would mean that I would be stuck for 4 more hours at night than I really needed to be.
Yeah.
So I think it just helped me change my thinking about it.
Yeah.
About how I run the business and about the jobs I take on and about the time that I devote to it and what is important and what isn't. And it's just given me a lot of clarity.
Has it helped you create better boundaries too?
Still working on that.
Me too. No, I didn't mean to put you on the spot because that's something I'm still working on too. But you mentioned saying no to projects that aren't the good fit for you. And I think that for a lot of people, saying no is harder than, you know, saying yes to things. So
I guess after this being 10 years, that part actually has gotten easier. You know, when I was in grad school, one of my professors said, you know, if someone asks you to do something, you always say yes. Can you teach a class in whatever this, you know, in art history, even though you don't teach art history? Yes, I can. And then you figure it out as you go. Well, no, I can't anymore because that adds undue stress for me. And at the end of the day, that job isn't worth it when it eats up a lot of my energy that could be spent elsewhere. Or when it's just not a good fit. And I think that just takes experience. You know, I know there's some jobs that are not good for me and they're not a good fit. And so I'm happy to pass them off to someone else who it is a good fit for. And the client's going to be happier and I'm going to be happier because I'll have more time to focus on something else.
Absolutely. And I think too, when you're younger in your career, you know, I did internships and all that stuff out of college. And while I was in college, I had jobs that were kind of related to the career I expected myself to go into.
Yep, me too.
And so I do feel that, you know, there is a lot of value when you're younger in your career to saying yes to things that may be outside of your comfort zone so that you can get that experience. But, you know, now that you've been doing this as long as you have, you do have a great understanding of who your client is, what kind of work you excel at. And two, you do recognize that if you take on a project that you're not maybe the best fit for, the client's not going to get the best results either. And they're not maybe going to be as happy as they could be with somebody else.
So, exactly.
I do think that's a little bit of a maturity thing.
Definitely. And I'm really happy that I know now what isn't a good fit, but I wouldn't have known that without saying yes in the beginning. So I don't discount that either. I'm really glad I always said yes, but now I'm glad I know how to say no and or getting better at it at least. And I'm glad to know what those projects are that I shouldn't be doing versus the ones that are really important to me.
But it's so hard. It's so hard to get to that point, you know, to get to that point of knowing, no, that's not right. I mean, I think back to like wedding invitations I did and I was quoting and in my head, I'm like, no, this probably isn't the right fit, but yet I still quoted it and I still did the project and I put my best foot forward. And I gave my client my all and really got – they were happy with the results. But looking back, like, could I have used that slice of time and energy in a different way that would have gotten me to my end goals faster? Or, you know, I don't know.
Well, I think your goals also change along the way. So, you know, having done custom, having done commercial work, having done – you know, retail and wholesale and, you know, a whole bunch of different things. My goal has changed significantly as I've gone and had to try out what, you know, I would still love to have a retail shop. I look at spaces all the time when I drive by and they're vacant and I think, oh, that would be amazing. You know, I could totally picture it, but I also know myself, I'm not ever going to have time for that.
Yeah.
To do it the way it needs to be done. So.
Yeah. I also think It was really interesting for me to hear you talk about, well, let me take a step back. There's been a lot of transition within our industry. A lot of people have been making a lot of tough decisions within their own individual businesses about scaling back in different ways. We have colleagues that have stopped wholesaling. We have colleagues that have stopped doing custom work. We've had people that are putting more time and effort into their retail you know, their online sales and their online shop and things like that. Now, these things are obviously very personal decisions for each of those brands to make. But what I loved what you said earlier is that you decided you wanted a more portable business that could kind of move with you should your life circumstances need to actually like physically pick up and move to a different place. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for people to hear that your decisions that you're making, speaking to the general you here, the decisions we make as business owners, it really needs to be focused on our own specific circumstances and our own goals. As you said, they may be changing. So I don't know. I feel like that's where comparison sometimes pops up.
Yeah.
Because they see, oh, so-and-so is getting out of wholesale. Maybe I should stop wholesaling too. Or, oh my gosh, somebody's creating a brand new website for retail. Like I should do that too, you know, or so-and-so is setting up a retail space with a studio in the back to work out of. I should do that too. And it's like, yes, like take a look at what people are doing to see what works best for you. But ultimately your decisions and your, you know, you need to make decisions based on what's best for your circumstances.
Well, and I still feel that too. So every time I see someone with an amazing studio space or a live workspace or a retail space slash shop that they're printing in the back, you know, like I feel that pull too. But
yeah, me too.
I think part of the reason I bounced around so much is that I never, and still don't really, full disclosure, have a business plan. I've always just kind of gone with my gut on things. And sometimes, for the most part, that's worked out really well. And in some ways, I think it's been a little detrimental because I don't necessarily know or didn't know when I hit a successful mark, you know? So one of my, another piece of advice I got was that I needed to set real goals so that I would know when I was hitting them, other than just having this loose idea of what success meant. And that helped me also, you know? So now I have goals that I think are attainable for sales and how do I want to get there? And I think part of that comes again from experience, but also, you know, having been burned out with the business and had it consume my life and realized that's not what I want out of my life. I don't want the business to run me. I want to run it. And I think that's something that you've talked about before as well. And it always resonates with me that I can structure my life the way I want it to go, and instead of trying to just keep up with the ball that's already rolling.
Right. Absolutely. And back to the goals too, I think it's important to remind people that like your goals can be quantitative. Like it can be a hard number that you want to hit in sales or a certain number of staff that you want to bring onto your team, but it could also just be looser. You know, it can be more qualitative. Like I want to take Fridays off every day of the summer, or I want to take a 2-week vacation in the fall or whatever it is, you know, like it could be, I want to be in the press or whatever it is. Like it could, I think you need to have a mix of both like hard goals that you can actually measure. And then I think that you need to have some other goals that are tied to like lifestyle and balance.
Totally. And I think as I kind of matured as a person, the goals became less about kind of status in the business, like how many wholesale accounts do I have? How do I stack up against someone else? And the goal became more, I want to be able to take a vacation and not check my email every day. So they became quality of life goals. And that took a really long time to figure out, and still am working on it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I am too. I think that's something that we're all constantly working on because our situations are changing and our, you know, life seasons are changing. So, you know, you have been speaking at Paper Camp since the very, very beginning when we were doing just teleconference calls, and then we moved into webinars, and then we started doing this in person. And I've been really honored to have you there as a speaker. I think that you provide such amazing insight, but also support to everyone that attends and even after they attend. I mean, you're just a really great mentor. Why is it important for you to give back to our industry and to continue coming to speak at Paper Camp?
I love our industry. It's pretty amazing. I think when we first met, I felt totally alone as a business owner. I showed with Ladies of Letterpress and I got to know that group of people pretty well that I exhibited with. And finally, I had colleagues. I had people that I could ask questions to on Twitter at, you know, 2 a.m. Someone was going to be up on their end. And so I feel like community developed out of this that I never had and wouldn't have had. And as a micro business printing on my own, sometimes with employees and sometimes without, it can be really isolating and lonely. And I think Paper Camp and Trade Show Boot Camp in general, and, you know, doing the teleconferences to going to the camps in person has really helped me both to connect with other people and not feel so alone. And I also remember that feeling of like not knowing anything or feeling like I didn't know anything that I was doing. And I want to kind of give someone else an idea that you don't have to know, that you have this other resource now that you can bounce ideas off of, and to kind of give back, because I felt like I got so much from my peers. And I still do. So every time I go to a conference, they serve to re-energize me as much as me, you know, imparting any information that I have. I still come out of it saying, okay, well, I've kind of figured this one part out, and now I need to implement this other thing that I've been putting off. Or, you know, this person is so excited and has such an amazing product, and that gets me more excited and invigorated about my own business. So it's a little bit selfish in some ways.
Well, I can assure you that you are not selfish when you are at camp. You are giving so much to these people and sharing so much of your knowledge that you've learned along the way. But I feel the same way. You know, I was telling somebody the other day, you know, we've got paper camp coming up again in September, which I'm excited to say you'll be back again.
Yay.
And I know. And I learn something new every time we get a group together. Like you said, the energy or the ideas or the brainstorming. I mean, we do one-on-one sessions at camp too. And I find that as much as I am giving advice to other people, like you said, I'm feeding off their energy too. So it feels like we're all lifting the industry up together. And it feels like it's not just us speaking to them. It's very much a conversation, right?
Yep, totally.
It's not, and I don't know, I'm babbling a little bit here now, but I feel renewed energy as well. And I feel like I'm constantly learning something new every time we get everybody together for camp.
And I think, you know, having that time to even just sit down with someone and talk about why you make things or how you decided to go in a certain direction also helps you solidify it in your own mind, you know, and it totally helps you get some clarity that maybe you have an aha moment that you weren't expecting because you are thinking about it in a different way. Or someone said, you know, gives you this tiny little nugget of information that, you know, changes, like you develop a new product because they said your work fits into this category and you hadn't thought about it like that before. So I don't know. I like the community. And I think that's part of, at least for me as a printmaker, printmaking is communal. It's, you know, people sharing a print shop and sharing space together generally. And I miss having that. And I don't teach anymore at the university. So this also gives me that chance to interact with people in a different way that I really need and missed.
You're a phenomenal teacher, though. I've always admired you when you speak at camp, of how, like, just warm and welcoming, but also, like, directive you can be sometimes. you, and I mean that in a good way, of, like, you, this is what worked for me, and here's why it may work for you. But also, there's a lot of, we have a lot of dialogue at camp of, like, you know, Claudia's very organized sometimes. And so I love when you say, well, Claudia does this differently, but here's how I do this. And, you know, I think it's good for people to hear that we all do things in different ways. And that's really the whole point of this podcast, to be honest. All these different people I'm interviewing, I want people to understand that there's no straight line in business, right? We all are making our own decisions based on our own circumstances. And what works for one person doesn't necessarily work for another. So I think the value of having so many different personalities and different types of businesses as speakers at camp is that people are hearing a wide variety of options and a wide variety of ways of doing things. And so you've always – I've always been impressed with you when you come to speak, and it's been a real pleasure to have you. So thank you for doing that.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate being there. And honestly, like, I think part of the reason I like – knowing that there are so many different ways to do something is because there's so many different personalities. You know, I wish I could be as organized as Claudia is. Like, that would be my lifetime goal.
Me too.
It's just never going to happen. And I know that about myself. And so I have to go at things a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. And, but that fits my personality, is, you know, just kind of leaping in and, you know, thinking, oh yeah, having a small business, that'll be a stable venture. With no ups and downs.
Or twists and turns.
But it's an adventure. So,
and it's so fulfilling too. I mean, as hard as small businesses, as running these businesses are, like, it's so rewarding. I can't imagine myself doing anything else. Going back to the corporate world, no, I don't think that's right for me.
I literally can't either. You know, my husband switched careers, and, you know, sometimes he'll say, well, what would you do if you weren't doing Pistachio Press? And I have zero answers. I have no idea. I can only do this, or I only want to do this. I can do a whole bunch of things.
I was going to say, you only want to. You're capable of a lot of things.
Yeah. But I think, you know, previous to our move, having juggled teaching and the business, mm-hmm. had we not made the move, I don't know that I would have known that, you know, because I loved teaching also. And I really miss teaching, but I don't necessarily miss being in academia. And it's a different environment. And I don't know. There's just something about being in the print shop that is always exciting to me.
Yeah, that's awesome. What would be your biggest advice to people that want to create a product-based business, whether it's stationery or something else?
This is something I didn't do, which I wish I had, is research. I think knowing where you fit into things is really important. But along with that, I think flexibility, because your business is going to change along the way. It's inevitable. You know, something will go really amazing and it'll force you to grow in a way that you weren't expecting. Or there's a downturn and then you have to be adaptable and change what you're doing. So having that flexibility, I think, is probably the biggest key to having a business. And so you do your research, you're flexible, and then having those goals. And for me, those goals are now much more life focused and quality of life focused than they are looking at what everybody else does. So I know that my use of social media and seeing what everyone else does and my interaction tends to go down the more productive I am in the studio, because I'm really just focusing on what I need to do. And if I'm taking too many Instagram breaks, I know that I'm kind of procrastinating on what I need to do. So those are my rambling pieces of advice.
No, they're not rambling. I love the put your head down and get to work mentality too. I find the same thing for me. If, like, I started making a rule for myself where I couldn't go on Facebook in like the morning, or I couldn't check email. I've tried a few different things where I wasn't checking email first thing in the day. Like, I'd wait until let's say noon. Mm-hmm. And that worked for a while, although then I hit some speed bumps because I needed to get information out of my email. but you know, I have tried to set those boundaries, because I think there are so many distractions out there. And I feel that those distractions do lead to comparison at times. And so if we just put our head down and get to work and focus on doing our own thing, we can get so much more accomplished.
Totally. And I don't know, it's just kind of interesting to see where your business is going to go, because I had no idea where it would go when I started it. So I think having maybe a little bit of, being a little naive is also a good thing, you know. Just keep a little bit of green.
I think I was a lot naive when I started. Didn't know what I didn't know, you know. I will say, you know, I think trial and error, as tough as it can be to actually go through that, I think there's a lot of value in that too.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. I don't know. Well, what's next for Pistachio Press? What do you have going on?
Right now, I'm gearing up to do the stationery show and developing a whole bunch of new products that I'm really excited about. And, you know, I feel like I go through these spurts of productivity, so it'll just all come out at once. And I think it's because it's been kind of sitting there ruminating for a while. So I have things that I know I'm not going to finish now, and that they're going to be on the back burner until I do the gift show in August. Mm-hmm. And then I've been doing a lot more commercial printing, and we're planning a vacation. So those are my next couple things that I've got going on.
Those are all good things. Good. Well, where can people find you online to check out your products and check out your business?
So I'm pretty much pistachiopress.com is my home base. And then all my, you know, accounts and Instagrams are linked through there.
Pistachio Press, at Pistachio Press everywhere.
Everywhere.
Awesome. Well, Rachel, thank you so much for joining me today. It's always a pleasure to chat with you, and I cannot wait to give you a big hug when I see you in New York in a couple weeks.
Me too. It was awesome, Katie. Thank you.
Talk soon.
Bye.
Hey friends, if you're thinking about wholesale and or trade shows in the near future, I highly recommend you check out our Paper Camp program. The next one's going to be in September, and it's 2 amazing but intense days where we talk about how to ensure your product line is ready for wholesale, how to reach retail buyers, which sales tools you need to have, and really how to create them, plus all the nitty-gritty details that you need to know before you do a large wholesale show. We have a fantastic group of speakers joining us. They'll sit side by side with you during the program, and we even have time reserved for one-on-one sessions. Sarah from Constellation & Co. said that Paper Camp was pivotal for her business and the best money she's ever spent investing in herself and her business. When Lisa from Tiramisu Papery came to camp, she was already working with a handful of wholesale accounts. And after camp, she went home and put in the hard work and is now selling to over 120 stores and working with 2 sales reps. If you want to make transitions in your business or refine your current wholesale program, head over to tradeshowcamp.com/papercamp to register. And just so you know, seats are limited. We like to keep things small so that you get personal attention, and we also want to make sure that all of your questions are answered. So more information is available at tradeshowcamp.com, then click on Paper Camp, and we hope you'll join us. Proof to Product is brought to you by Trade Show Bootcamp and hosted by me, Katie Hunt. Since 2011, TSBC has worked with hundreds of product-based businesses to help them up-level, scale, and build profitable, sustainable companies. You can find our show notes and additional resources at prooftoproduct.com. And if you like what you heard today, please head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a 5-star review and subscribe. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a new episode.